The only reason I have made millions of dollars from this is because I have enough people who choose to do business with me. That means I'm providing either a superior product or a superior service or a better price point than the other options or my competitions.
Real estate is about freedom, choice freedom, time freedom, and money freedom, and the impact you can make with that freedom. But it doesn't come without cost. Your freedom takes work. That's why Neil Timmons brings together the tools you need to build your real estate legacy, from tips and tricks to interviews with industry titans. It's all here in one place. Real Grit. Let's get to it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Grit. I'm Neil Timmons. Hey, I'm here with Todd Baldwin today. He's an entrepreneur. He's an investor. He's a public figure, and he's best known for his unorthodox real estate strategy involving renting homes out by the bedroom. In 2015, Todd bought his first property when he was just 23 years old. He and his girlfriend at the time, now his wife, lived in the master bedroom. They rented out the remaining room to their friends. 9 months later, Todd bought his second property, which he in turn rented out the entire house by the bedroom. So in March of 17, Todd bought his third rental property, which he moved into and rented out every spare bedroom as well. Todd purchased two properties in 2018, renting both of them out by the bedroom as well. You get to see a theme here. So in Todd, in 2019, he bought a duplex there in Washington. He and his wife moved in one side, renting out the other, Airbnb style, if you will, converting the garage into a studio apartment. So I'm excited to talk to him today because this is going to be a fun subject matter. I think you're going to get a lot out of. Todd, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing really great. Thank you so much for having me on. It is a pleasure to be here. I'm a fan of your show, so I was stoked when I got the call to be a part of it.
Oh, good. Well, I really appreciate that. Thanks for taking the call and thanks for taking the time. Well, just tell me here, we obviously touched on your background, but how did you even get started in real estate? I mean, what even had you buy the first property and then decide, you know, let's rent out these extra rooms?
Yeah, absolutely. So I knew that I wanted to become wealthy from a very early age. I was raised by a single mom, got my first job when I was 12. And at that point, I was like, all right, I've got to make millions of dollars. So I've sort of been on this track since I was a kid. I do live in the Seattle area, and it is quite expensive here.
Right.
So the cost of a studio apartment, not even a one bedroom, but legit a studio, usually goes around $2,000 per month.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh yeah, it's crazy. And then utilities are on top of that. And usually parking is an extra couple $100 as well. So I was very fortunate that I made the decision, the controversial decision, to drop out of college to pursue an opportunity working in sales. And maybe about 8-9 months after dropping out of school, I was making six figures working in sales. So that was awesome.
Yeah,
I saved every penny that I possibly could to put a down payment down on my first house. And the reason why my girlfriend at the time, who of course I'm married to now, we decided that the house that I could buy was frankly just too much house for the two of us. We didn't have any pets or kids. Yeah. It was a 6-bedroom, 4-bathroom house, new construction, and it was entirely too big for just us. Yeah. So we thought, well, what if we could offset our mortgage by renting out the bedrooms to our college friends? And so that's exactly what we did. We occupied the master bedroom. We rented out the rest of the rooms, and we were able to live in a brand new construction home completely for free. So it didn't cost us a dime to live there every month. And of course, it was going up in value. The loan was being paid off and it didn't cost us anything. And the reason why it was a good idea for our roommates is because we were charging, you know, $800 or $900 for a bedroom, and the alternative is a studio apartment for $2,000 plus utilities.
Right.
And we were including all the utilities. So we found that there was a real business to this, and we just kept buying house after house. And now here we are today.
Wow. That's really incredible. Yet you're in a unique environment in the sense of those numbers absolutely work and you can make a business out of it. Mm-hmm. Tell me, you know, you've done multiple properties at this point, and so obviously you've morphed, you moved past, you know, just having friends, you know, stay in the house that you live in, and you had to build a business out of it. What's the ideal tenant? What type of person is renting this today?
Absolutely. So it's mostly young professionals who are sort of, I guess, straddled with student loan debt, and they want to save money and get out of debt and eventually buy a home of their own. So a lot of times people think I'm just finding, you know, sort of scraping the bottom of the barrel. Like, who would be willing to live with 5 roommates, right? It's got to be sort of, an unfortunate type of person. That's not the case. I have people who are doctors who rent for me. I literally have a guy who's an astronaut and he works for NASA and he rents a room for me. This man makes six figures a year and he's renting a room for me for $850 a month because he has a crazy amount of student loans and he wants to hustle and pay those down. And so he thought, well, why don't I reduce my greatest expense? Yeah. I have nurses, flight attendants. I had a couple of lawyers, like literally across the board. Yeah. So the tenants are all young professionals.
Primarily younger though, somewhere in their 20s.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So, all of them are mid-20s, maybe early 30s at the highest.
To me, that piece right there seems like it, you know, if you're coming out of, and they all sound educated, they're coming out of college. Mm-hmm. I mean, in college, you're accustomed to having roommates, right? Mm-hmm. You're accustomed to having roommates. So to take that bridge, that leap of coming out of college with roommates into this situation with roommates, it's not really that big of a leap at all.
No, not
versus,
at all.
Versus, you know, a 50-year-old going, I want to sign up for four roommates. I mean, to go, does that make sense? Yeah.
Absolutely.
You've hit a real sweet spot is what it seems like.
It is. Yeah. And you got to be careful with the Fair Housing Act. Like you can't say, you know,
can't discriminate, apply of course. 20. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
As a natural consequence of being roommates, it's mostly just people in their 20s who even reach out.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah. 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 No, it makes total sense. Mm-hmm. Wow. What's been the biggest challenge? Obviously roommates and people who don't know each other, probably, you know, it can present some unique circumstances or challenges perhaps, but tell me about that. What have you run into or am I off the mark? Have you not seen anything?
Yeah. So, you know, you're absolutely right. The biggest challenges is like roommate drama or roommate disputes. Yeah. I do the best that I can to mitigate that before it even happens. So like doing some research, we found out that the number one cause of fights between roommates is mess, just a messy house. So cleanliness. I literally have a maid go through every single house on a weekly basis. She cleans the entire house, even the bedrooms from top to bottom. And I pay for that. That's included in rent. So that problem is squashed. The next problem that we found is fighting about shared stuff. So like if you're sharing a bathroom with a roommate and you're buying all the toilet paper and the soap, but your roommate's using it all and not reimbursing you, eventually you're going to get really annoyed and you're probably going to want to move out. So we supply all of the toilet paper, all of the paper towels and the soap and the dishwasher pods. Like we supply all of that stuff. So it's not even an issue. And then sort of the last thing we do is we do our best to match people by personality. It is definitely not an exact science. Yeah. But so I have one all male house. I have one all female house. And then we have four mixed houses. But within each of those houses, I asked people, okay, sort of, you know, what's your temperament? What are your deal breakers? Like if you're the type of person who wants to go to bed at 9 p.m., right, it's not a good fit if you're in a house with people who want to party till 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
So just figuring out people who will mesh well together.
That's interesting. I got to commend you. You know, you have taken it to another level in those first two items, right? The cleanliness and then more specifically the shared items to identify a situation and then just go, forget it. Let's, you know, we don't need to talk about this with people. Let's just put it in place, put a solution in place and build it in from a monetary standpoint that at the end of the day, they pay for it anyway and solve it. That's terrific.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, it works out well because what happens is this. So they're looking at studios, right? For $2,500. Then they see a room for rent for $900 that has a maid that's all inclusive. You don't even have to buy toilet paper. And so for them, if they're already in the mindset of, I want to save money, it's like a no brainer, right? The houses are brand new. That's another thing. I buy all new construction. So they're built for this because it's not often you find 6-bedroom, 4-bathroom homes. Correct. I even have an 8-bedroom house. That's very rare, but you know, we can build them new.
Right.
And every single tenant has an assigned parking spot. Nobody has a street park or anything like that. So we do the best we can to make it idiot proof, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty cool. All right. So you buy these homes new. What kind of financing structure are you putting down those?
Yeah. So mostly, except for our first one, we've done it pretty much all conventional financing.
Yep.
Our first one, we put 3.5% down. It was a first-time home buyer program.
Sure.
Our second property, we did put a full 20% down.
Yep.
I believe that down payment was about $110,000.
Yep.
And then our third house, we actually moved into it as a new owner-occupied primary residence. So we only put 10% on that one. It.
Yep.
And so pretty much every 12 to 18 months, we move into a new property, able to put less down, and then we rent out the master bedroom we just moved out of. So we have been staying in this duplex for a while. We also no longer have roommates in our duplex, but we still rent out the other half and the garage studio. So we still live for free.
We'll be right back in 2 minutes, but first a word from our sponsors. Need more leads? Who doesn't, right? Want access to the vacant home list, absentee owners, tax liens, pre-foreclosures that are all routinely updated? Well, you can get it all in one place. Batchleads.io. Batch Leads gives you nationwide property search, nationwide buyer search, comparable home sales, quick filters, and hundreds of prospect filters to allow you to slice and dice it any which way you wish. Batch Leads is trusted by some of the nation's top real estate investors. And with plans starting as low as $30 a month, there's a lot of bang for the buck. Batch Leads includes unlimited list stacking, so there's never a need to buy another program or figure it out in Excel. They even include discounted skip tracing with every single plan. It's the system my team and I personally use. Use coupon code IMPACT when checking out for 50% off your first month. Batchleads.io, coupon code IMPACT for 50% off your first month.
Yeah. That's terrific. So when you're putting the conventional financing structure in place, you're ending up with a 30-year fixed rate loan.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Give me high level. Pick one. Give me the numbers on what that looks like. You know, maybe the first one. There's four beds. There's four beds in it. They're all $850.
They're all that one. The rent has increased a little bit because when I bought that originally, that was in 2015, I believe. Yeah. So now my average rent on that is about $1,000. I make about $6,000 a month on that house.
$6,000 a month gross.
Is gross. Yep. The mortgage payment is right around $2,800, I would say. And then the utilities that I pay for, as well as the maid, comes out to about $500 a month.
So just a little, I'm going to call it just north of $2,500 a month net.
Yeah. And the crazy part is, remember, I only put $19,000 down and I'm making way more than $19,000 per year in profit, which is over a 100% cash on cash return.
Right. Plus, right? You own the real estate, you get the depreciation, right? Mm-hmm. You get the appreciation on that, right? Yeah, that's tremendous. And single family homes, in many cases, they've been appreciating extraordinarily well. In some cases, outpacing what you can see in some of the apartments. Not all, some depends on the submarket. Yeah, well, that's tremendous. Tell me, what was it about being in, when you're 12 years old and decided, I need to make a lot of money? What was that switch at that time?
Well, I was raised by a single mom who was raising myself, my younger brother, my older sister, and I saw her struggle. And I got my first job at 12, literally shoveling horse manure for $3 an hour.
Really?
And yeah. It was brutal in one way, but also I learned how to work when I was a kid, and I learned that nothing is free and there's no one to come save you, whether it's your government or your friends or whatever. You just got to go out and do it.
Right.
And so in a way, it was helpful for me. And I just knew that I wanted to live a different life. It had really nothing to do with materialistic things. I became a multimillionaire in my 20s. Yeah. I still drive an 11-year-old Ford Focus. I don't have a Lamborghini or anything like that. Yeah. It's mainly about the freedom that comes with being financially free. I just knew that I wanted that.
Yeah. Do you have a team structure today? Who is it? Just you? What's that structure look like in your business?
It's basically just me and my wife. We do want to eventually expand into apartment buildings because, I can buy one building with 400 units. I probably can't buy 400 houses that have roommates. It's just, there's going to be a point where it's going to plateau and just be too much for me to handle.
Yeah.
When I do buy apartment buildings, I'm sure that I'll, have a management team and all that stuff. I'm just not quite there yet. And I haven't found the right building for my criteria, but sorry, that's a very long-winded response to no, we don't have a team yet, but we will when we expand.
Yeah. Let's talk about expansion. I mean, where are you guys going this year? What's it look like? What are the goals?
Yeah. So I have my eye on an apartment building in Tacoma, which is a suburb of Seattle, maybe about a half hour south. And this one's really exciting because it's in an opportunity zone, which basically means that I can hold the house for, I believe, if I hold it for 12 years, I can sell it and not pay a dime of capital gains tax, which is really exciting because this area appreciates like mad. Right. And it's also in a multifamily tax exemption zip code, meaning that for the first, I think, 9 or 10 years, I don't have to own any property taxes on this building. Mm. And for this particular building, property taxes would be about $75,000 per year.
Okay.
And then if I wanted to, sort of the way it maps out is I could do this all Section 8, which I know there's pros and cons to it. The pro, of course, being the money just comes to you direct deposit from the government. You don't have to go down chasing checks or whatever.
Right.
There's other cons, of course. But the pro is the Section 8 rent that I would get in this zip code puts it well above the 1% rule. Okay. So I think I'd spend about $4.8 million on the building, and the Section 8 rent would be about $70,000 per month. Mm. So it'd be a hell of a deal if I could figure this out.
Yeah. No, that sounds like a tremendous opportunity. Mm-hmm. It's fun, you know, working through the deal analysis and try to sort out what's the winner from all of the losers that it takes to find a deal these days.
Yes. And, you know, to your point, I will say I looked every day at properties for, I think, 10 months before landing on our duplex. We bought this duplex in 2019 for $900,000. The most recent appraisal puts it at $1.6 million today. Just a couple of years later. So incredible. You definitely don't need to rush into a property. Take your time, do your research, figure out the best property for what you're looking for.
Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe that'll lead me to my next question. If somebody's in the position where you were in 2015 going, hey, this sounds like an interesting strategy for me. This is an easiest, a very simple entry point into the industry. You got to have a place to live anyway, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, what do you suggest they do? What are their first action steps, besides find a place? Or maybe there's some input there relative to the type of place you buy that you may not normally buy if you're going to have
roommates. Yeah. So a couple of things. I mean, the first thing you want to do if you're just going to be buying it, conventional, like here's a single family home, you want to make sure you have a good solid credit score and you want to have reserves. Mm. And the hack about all of this is to find a house that you can afford the payment regardless of whether or not you have roommates. Because if you can just afford, hey, this is my house that I live in and I can afford it and it's fine, when you have roommates, it's just a bonus at that point. So what I try to do is I try to find houses with a really good bedroom to bathroom ratio. Mm. So, I have a house that's 8 bedrooms, 4 bathrooms. That's pretty good ratio. 2 people per bathroom, that's not bad. If it's 3 or 4 people per bathroom, that's not very great. I don't want that. You have to find a house with enough parking. If you have 6 tenants there, you got to have 6 parking spots. I also, personally, for this model, I never buy houses that have an HOA because many HOAs disallow roommate style renting or just renting in general, or they limit the amount of cars that can be in the driveway.
Yep.
And then the last thing I try to do is find a house in an undervalued area that's going through a transition. That one's a little bit less obvious, but if there's an area or a neighborhood in your area that's not necessarily been like the best area, but they're putting in a new library and a community center and they're, grocery stores, it's on the come up. That's what I've been able to do with a few of my properties. And that makes the appreciation crazy. But to your point, I'll go back to this. Everyone listening to this, you have to live somewhere. Right. So you pretty much have 3 options. You can rent a place where you're going to be paying off somebody else's mortgage. You can buy a place where you're going to pay off your own mortgage, which is a step better than renting, or you can buy a place and get roommates so you have other people paying off your mortgage. And if you're at a place where you're, you could stomach living with roommates for a few years, it's worth it. If you're like 60 and you have a bunch of kids and whatever, it's probably not what you're going to be interested in. But when I started this, I was 23. I had no kids. I was completely fine having a few roommates if that meant I lived for free.
Yeah, it's incredible. And it's gone way past free at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so how does somebody determine, got that, they find a place, they get it, they want this home, they decide that it sounds good, roommates are, this is the path they want to pursue. How do they determine what rent to charge them?
That's a really good question. So I try to make my base rent about half of what a studio in the area is. That works well for my area because I'm in a very expensive market. Seattle mm-hmm. is crazy. It's right. It's not too far off from like LA and New York now. I don't know what a studio in the Midwest would go for. So I don't know if charging half of that for a room would even work. But the good news is you can see if people are renting out bedrooms, you can see that on Craigslist or apps like Roomie or Rentube, and you can see what your competition is. And then just come either slightly under the competition if it works with your numbers or offer more than what your competition is offering. So for me, I am the only game in town that has a weekly made. Nobody else does it. Some people have tried to replicate my model. Nobody has a weekly made. So I'm in that way, there's a point in my box, right? For against my competition. Also supplying all of the stuff. Again, I'm able to do that because my margins are so crazy. That 8-bedroom, 4-bathroom house that I have, it brings in $8,000 per month. $4,000 per month is pure profit, even after all the utilities and the supplies and stuff.
Yeah.
So if I'm making $4,000 a month on one house, I'm totally happy to buy some toilet paper every month, right? So it's scaling it, offering as much as you can that still works for your numbers. And then if you're just going to start out with one house, remember, you have to pay to heat the whole house anyway.
Right.
You have to pay to, you know, do the cable and the internet, all of that stuff, regardless of whether or not you have roommates. So
that's right.
It makes sense to get people in there to pay it off for you.
Yeah. And really what you're saying is offer more means provide, like anything in business, provide more value.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, some people are, well, it's funny. So I had an article that came out about me, I guess 2 years ago now, and it talked about my income, talked about my properties. And I'll give you the abridged version, but it was like millennial millionaire, you know, makes millions of dollars from real estate, blah, blah, blah. And people were furious because there's so much hate online these days, especially success is like a bad word today for whatever reason.
Yeah. And online, it's a 4-letter word.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And what I was trying to articulate to people is that the only reason I have made millions of dollars from this is because I have enough people who choose to do business with me.
Correct.
And that means I'm providing either a superior product or a superior service or a better price point than their other options or my competitions. Like nobody would choose to rent from me if I wasn't providing something of value.
That's exactly
right. And
people
who rent from me usually re-sign their lease. So yes, you have to provide value. You have to go, in my mind, I want it to be a no-brainer that if you're living in the Seattle market and you're going to live with roommates, you're going to rent from me. That I want that to be a no-brainer. Yeah. Just like if you need new tires for your car, you're going to Les Schwab, right? That's a no-brainer. And I want to do that same thing. So you just got to provide the best value and service you can.
Yeah. What's an underrated or unknown habit or tool that you possess or use?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think understanding that nobody cares. What I mean by that is this: everyone has problems and like, I'm sorry, but nobody cares. Like don't spend any time complaining online or anywhere about why your life is hard because everybody has their own problems. I was raised by a single mother because my father was a wife beater and a child molester. So she had to get out of that situation. Now, nobody does business with me out of pity because I come from that. They do business with me if and only if I can provide something that they want at a cost that's acceptable to them, right? Like if I'm about to get fired from my job because I'm not performing and I say, oh, well, the reason I'm not performing is I'm really sad because I had a hard life growing up. My employer won't give a shit, right? You have to go out and you have to perform. And it's brutal, but it's true. So I understood a long time ago, if I want something, I have to go get it. Nobody cares about my problems. And just complaining is worthless. It's a waste of space. It's a waste of noise. Just go out and get what you want.
We'll be right back in 2 minutes. But first, a word from our sponsors. Thinking about adding people to your team now or in the next year? New and experienced investors alike are turning to the definitive book on hiring, written by yours truly. It's called Unicorn Hunting for Real Estate Investment Companies. How to easily attract, screen, and land a unicorn. It's the complete hiring funnel. This book is a step-by-step process. It includes the secret sauce for attracting more applicants than you'll ever need, the exact resources to use along with screenshots, so it's easy to follow, how to accurately compensate the role and find candidates who will work for 15 to 30% less than the average wage in your home city. P.S. No, we're not shipping the jobs overseas. How to weed out applicants, including the exact word for word my team uses in our own business. Every single email needed for the entire process, it's all included. The screening tools used when interviewing, when to make the job offer. It's so easy that 90% of the work that goes into unicorn hunting can be done by someone else or a VA. This book retails on Amazon for $49.95. But since you listen here to Real Grit, I want to say thanks. I want to give you a free copy. I just ask that you cover the shipping handling. To get your free copy, along with a few valuable bonuses I have not yet even mentioned, go to www.landaunicorn.com. That's www.landaunicorn.com right now to get your free book.
Lou Holtz, the famous Notre Dame coach, once said, never complain about your problems. Half the people don't care they have them, and the other half are glad that you have them.
Absolutely, 100%.
What's been the biggest challenge that you've had to go through in your real estate business?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, you know, when COVID happened, I had two Airbnbs that I actually had to take down because our bookings started dropping like flies.
Right.
So I just, I leased them out full term, right? Like just a normal lease. Rental.
Yep.
The other thing that happened is the eviction moratorium, where people could decide to not pay rent and I couldn't evict them. I was incredibly blessed that I didn't miss a dime of rent that entire time of that 2 years or whatever it was that there was the moratorium in place. Yep. I was so lucky because a lot of landlords, even especially small mom and pop landlords who doesn't have an army of lawyers on their side,
right.
They had people who were just like, you know what? I don't have to pay. I'm not going to. Correct. And they didn't pay for a year and a half. And those people lost their homes. The banks took them back.
Right.
And luckily, I was not affected by that for two reasons. Number one, I was very proactive at finding programs, which there are a ton, by the way, rental assistance programs.
Yep.
Many landlords do not know about this. I called, I think it was the Community Caregiving Network. It's affiliated with the Catholic Church to see if they have any programs. I was told that the man who worked there had been working there for 25 years. He said that I was the first landlord in 25 years to ever call them on behalf of the tenant. And he was able to provide one of my tenants with $1,800, which for that specific tenant, that was like 2.5 months of their rent almost.
Right.
So finding programs like that, being proactive, that was challenging, but it worked out. And also because I sort of go on above and beyond in the service and the price point is good, nobody wanted to screw me. I mean, like I provide these people a maid and I pay for, you know, utilities and I have like Netflix and HBO, like in every house, like all the things, right? I furnish all the common areas.
Yeah.
People almost like didn't want to do that to me. I had that rapport with all of my tenants and I had, you know, 40 tenants at the time across six houses and not a single one of them ever stiffed me because, you know, during the eviction moratorium or otherwise. And so that was huge. Being a down to earth, good person, wanting to provide value, it really does help. Not only because you're going to make a lot of money, but because your clients, and I think of all my tenants as clients,
yep.
They won't want to screw you. If you treat them right most of the time, unless they're just awful, but hopefully you can not do that in the background check part of things.
Correct. Yeah, no, that goes a long way. You treating mm-hmm. these people as people, and especially for the value that you deliver to them. Yeah, that's tremendous. Well, so I want to move on to our final segment, what I call four impact.
Four for impact.
Your favorite quote is gotta catch 'em all, Pokemon. What's significant about that? Why does it resonate with you?
Man, yeah. So that was from my childhood, yeah. You know, Pokemon, gotta catch 'em all. I just think it's a fun, it's lighthearted. I don't take myself too seriously, but I have very lofty goals. And I think that's what it is. Like, you know, if I want something, yeah, I'm going to go catch 'em all. I just got to go do it. I got to get it. But it brings out part of my goofy side because although I've had success, at the end of the day, I'm just a guy. Like, I like my beer ice cold. I like my pizza piping hot. I like my cookies warm. If I have those things, I'm a very happy man. And I just felt that quote was just like, okay, yeah, this guy doesn't take himself too seriously. He's just along for the ride.
That's awesome. What do you think holds most investors back from hitting their personal next level?
Probably settling for something good. Like they reach this level of comfort and they don't want to reach beyond that, you know? I'll be in my own life. When I started making $100,000 a year, mm-hmm. I was 22. I thought I reached the top, right?
That was it. Yep.
Yeah. And, but I dug deeper and now I make $100,000 a month, which is just mind blowing, right? But there's a level above that too.
Correct.
And it's not all about money. It's about lifestyle and Correct. Giving back and, you know, taking care of your family. But I think if you get too comfortable, you can get sort of complacent. And complacency is death, unless you're just incredibly happy. But for me, I'm just so motivated that I have to keep moving and keep building.
Yeah. If you're not growing, you're dying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Outside of real estate, what are you most passionate about?
Definitely my family. My wife and I are actually expecting our first baby.
Congratulations.
So we have a baby on the way coming. Yeah. So we're super excited about that. I also love to travel. I had the opportunity to take my entire family to Hawaii last year for 2 weeks, which was amazing. And I, you know, once we get through the COVID mess, I'd like to actually travel the world and go to Europe and do all the things there.
Yeah.
And then really just spending time with the people you love. Because at the end of the day, if you have a big pile of money, but nobody you love to share it with, it's like, what's the point? So, you know, spending time with people who mean the most to you.
Yeah. What's your favorite way to make an impact in the community?
Probably teaching financial education to underprivileged kids. So I have been volunteering at a few inner city schools where I just basically over like this, over Zoom, where I just start teaching them stuff that the school system does not teach and their parents don't know or don't know how to teach it, and changing lives of people, because it has to start young. I mean, you're not going to get rid of poverty by pumping people into the system where they don't know anything about money. I think the only way to do it is to educate people. And so that's what I've been doing as often as I can.
You're right. There's a ridiculous gap there between in financial education, right? Personal financial education that the school system and systems as a whole, I mean, there's, it's just untaught.
Yes, absolutely. And it's a big problem because like nobody, and that's the thing too, like most of the people who complain about how the system is rigged and life is unfair, like, yeah, life is unfair. Like that's true. But also they don't know. They literally don't know that they have the option to change their life. They think that they're stuck in their situation. And I know that that's not true, but you have to give them the information so they can figure it out for themselves.
How much of success do you believe is mindset?
Gosh, probably 80% mindset. I would say maybe 15% hard work and then 5% luck. I'm not so arrogant to say I didn't get lucky. I did. But I also worked 17 hours a day for the first couple of years of my 20s while I was building my real estate empire. So, you know, you just got to go do it.
You got to do it. And then when you're working like that, when you're focused, when you're diligent, you create your own luck.
Absolutely.
Ultimately. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So for folks who want to learn more, they want to connect with you, they want to follow you online, where, how can they do so?
Sure. Well, if you want to get in contact with me, the best way is on Instagram. My handle is at Todd J. Baldwin. I'm pretty good about responding to DMs within like 24 hours. So if you want to get in touch, that's a really good way. And then I also teach everything that I have learned about this room rental business. I teach it all on YouTube. And my YouTube channel is just my name, Todd Baldwin. And you can find it there. I have a playlist specifically for real estate and house hacking.
Cool, cool. Well, make sure we get all the links drop below in the show notes so people can track you down there. I think this is a tremendous conversation, Todd. I really appreciate your time. But to go from house hacking, but it goes past that because you've leveraged what I'll call just traditional house hacking into a business and been able to monetize it in a very big way. And then on top of that, identify what's a problem and then come up with a solution that eliminates the problem forever.
Absolutely. And if for anyone listening, it really is an incredible business. My wife and I, we actually just had a piece from Business Insider that came out about us that went through all of our finances. In 2021, we netted about $1.5 million in profit, right? Wow. So it's like that. I mean, I'm 29 and I'm a college dropout and I make over $1 million a year. It's just I don't even believe it sometimes, but it's all possible through this system.
Todd, killing it.
Thank you.
Tremendous respect. It's really good. I've enjoyed this conversation a lot because it's such a unique twist that you just don't hear that much about and not guys doing it at the level you're doing it. So congrats on all the success you're having. And I look forward to updated conversation here in the next year or so. And we'll have you back on and let's see where things are at.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for having me on. It was a pleasure speaking to you. And I'm happy to come back anytime.
I really appreciate it. For everybody here at Real Grit, I'm Neil Timmons reminding you that real estate requires real grit. I'll see you next time.
If you like our content and want more, you can access it at realgritpodcast.com. You hear it guest after guest. Instinctively, you already know it. But let me call it out. The most expensive action is inaction. The real estate market is full of opportunities. You just need to uncover them. You can build a business that lasts for years, makes monumental impact in the lives of those that you love. It's not just about business, but about the freedom you get because of it. Have you ever heard the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I believe that partnering is essential. In fact, I partner with hardworking investors all the time. The point is that you can get a lot further with the right partner. Let me say it again, the right partner. If you've ever thought about partnering with anyone, or if you have a partner now, I encourage you to download my free Partner and Profit Guide, which includes the top 5 must answer questions to evaluate a profitable partnership. You can find it at www.legacyimpactpartners.com. I'll see you in the next episode.